mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
For word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, the games terrorists play. Why U.S. military intelligence hired a contractor to buy and hack used gaming consoles abroad. And a leading business magazine has Southern New Hampshire University bumping elbows with tech giants Google and Facebook on its list of most innovative companies. We'll speak with the president of SNHU about maintaining an educational mission while growing a higher ed business. But first, candy caught in the crossfire. Successful brands can cost millions of dollars to create and protect and control. Despite those mammoth efforts, name brands can take on a life of their own.
Bad news for Mr. George Zimmerman. Everyone still hates him for killing a teenager over Skittles. Oprah weighed in. She wants justice. And, of course, Skittles.
Kim Severson is Atlanta bureau chief for the New York Times. She wrote about how the death of Trayvon Martin has transformed Skittles from a candy into a national talking point and, for some, a symbol of injustice. Kim, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, glad to be here.
How soon after Trayvon Martin's death did this pack of Skittles start to become part of the narrative?
Well, it's kind of interesting. You can use Google search trends, you know, the insights of search, to find out how things are gaining interest in parts of the country. And Trayvon was killed on February 26th, and really it wasn't until a couple of weeks later in March that there was more news coverage about him, and his name started to really rise in the search engines around March 17th, and that's when there was some news coverage that mentioned what he was carrying as he was coming from the 7-Eleven. And so then you see by like March 20th or 21st, 22nd, the number of search, the interest in Skittles just started to skyrocket. And it really peaked around the 27th and 28th of March. It's starting to drop a little now, but it really was a couple of weeks later, and it was just that sort of salient detail that captured people in some, it was in the police reports, and some reporter picked it up in Florida, and then it kind of got spread. So that's really the middle of March is when people started to get Skittles fever, and then slowly as word got out, protests started happening. You know, some young folks started wearing hoodies at the marches and carrying packs of Skittles, and you started to see a few photographs like that, and it just really took off as a symbol of what some people perceive as a huge amount of injustice in this crime.
How did Wrigley, that Skittles parent company, respond?
Well, they went gulp, and they had a lot of meetings. It's the kind of thing as a brand manager you want to be very careful, because it's, as I quoted something in my story, this was sort of the wrong candy in the wrong place at the wrong time. And so, if you say anything, so a lot of people said that the company told us, the brand managers advised the company to do nothing, make no statement, but they just issued a fairly quiet statement that said, "We don't want to get involved. This is a tragedy. We're very sorry for all involved, and we're just going to, stand back until, possibly a later time." It was a very benign statement. They didn't put it on their website. It was read out to people who would call the company. And I talked to the spokesperson several times and gave them several opportunities to talk about whether or not the company was going to do more. So they basically issued a very quiet, somber statement, and that was it. Now, in the meantime, of course, the story sort of turned on itself. So here everybody is sending packets of Skittles to the Sanford Police Department. They're wearing Skittles hats made out of Skittle wrappers. They've got Skittles as fundraising drives. And people start to say, well, Wrigley's making a lot of money profiting off of this. They should be donating money back to certain cities in which black men are dying at higher rates than in other cities. They should be donating it to racial reconciliation causes. So people started to feel like, don't buy Skittles, because the Wrigley company isn't helping out, taking a stand on this. It's been fascinating how the story's turned in on itself.
Right. In fact, they're writing on Twitter, people are angrily calling out for Skittles. They're demanding apologies and donations of so-called blood money to the Trayvon Martin's family.
Yes, it is. It's amazing how quickly the narrative arc on a story like this changes now that people share information so quickly on social media.
We're talking about how a candy brand got mixed up in the controversial shooting death of Trayvon Martin, the black Florida teen shot by neighborhood watchman George Zimmerman. And we're talking with Kim Severson of the New York Times. Well, Kim, you know, he was also going for Arizona tea, reportedly,
right,
which he also purchased, in fact. But it has not become a symbol for Trayvon Martin supporters. What is it about Skittles? I mean, we had a debate in our editorial meeting this morning about, you know, what going to the corner and picking up some Skittles connotes in our culture.
Right. And, well, first of all, let's just say that Skittles is a lot more fun to say than Arizona tea.
Point.
So, you know, it's obviously such a symbol of innocence and youth, and there's the whole rainbow subtext. Their slogan is Taste the Rainbow, and you know, if you have ever been to any kind of diversity training, you know, the rainbow is a symbol of racial harmony and unity. And so there's all kinds of subtext with the Skittles. They're also, you know, they're easy to buy and send around. And, you know, I mean, I have seen photographs of memorials that had the iced tea and the Skittles together. But somehow the Skittles and the hoodie became, you know, the symbols. I think it's a little bit more cinematic, maybe, and there's certainly that innocence. Now, we wrote a big takeout in our newspaper today. It's on the front page that gets into a little bit more detail. And he was actually going to the 7-Eleven. The Skittles were for a younger child of his dad. He was living with his dad and his dad's girlfriend in Sanford for a little bit. And his father's girlfriend had a young son, and he asked the kid if he wanted anything from the 7-Eleven when he walked out, and the kid said Skittles. So he's actually now buying Skittles to help a younger relative, and so that even makes him look like more saintly. It does change the, you know, but Skittles is just such a symbol of youth, I think, and of innocence. And so it's,
well, yeah, we thought that, but we also thought it was maybe emblematic of, you know, kids eating bad food, you know, that it had some sort of more, I don't know, social, economic kind of narrative that goes with it. And yes, we've seen these photographs of Trayvon Martin skiing and horseback riding. I mean, how would the perception of this story change if it were Trayvon the skier or a horseback rider rather than on T-shirts instead of Skittles and hoodies?
Right. So if he was a kid going out to the Whole Foods to buy a package of kale chips, would we feel differently?
Right.
Would kale chips have become the symbol, you know, in the Upper West Side? Well, first of all, I'm not sure that that's kind of an interesting question, but I think that it's maybe not. I mean, it's a sort of subtext of your question is that Skittles are somehow, you know, the ghetto food or the lower economic, you know, class, you know, thing. I guess I would venture to say that even if it was that any kid from any socioeconomic class, if they were shot carrying a bag of Skittles, it just would say innocence more than it would say, you know, say lower income or say, you know, disenfranchised population. I think, as a news writer, I certainly, you know, if a 17-year-old got shot buying Skittles, I don't think it matters where they were from. It's still a good symbol of innocence. If he was carrying something else, like Slim Jim's beef jerky, something that was a little less universal. I mean, Skittles is the second best-selling. It's the second most popular chewy candy in the country, and among kids, and young adults, it's the number one. So, I think there's a universality to Skittles, you know, that I don't think you can necessarily ascribe to economic or social or racial class. Although I did have, there's a company called Package Packs that studies SKUs, you know, on candy packs and all kinds of products, and they sort of do surveys and see who buys what. So I was trying to actually look at that question. I'm like, are Skittles somehow...
Kim, I'm gonna have to draw you to a close in just a minute.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Anyway, it turns out that the number one target group that eats Skittles are young men, young white men who play video games. So there you go.
Kim Severson, Atlanta Bureau Chief for the New York Times. Thank you so much.
Thank you.